Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the benefits of being a father to young children is that you become pretty well versed in Disney movies. And maybe some fathers wouldn't appreciate that, but I think one of the reasons I wanted to have kids is so I could watch these movies and not feel creepy about it. One of my favorite movies from Disney, though, is Moana. And it's a story about a Polynesian, kind of Hawaiian, tribal people living on islands. And, you know, you think Hawaiians as they would have been before progress came along. And in the movie Moana, creation is suffering. And it's all because of one person's actions, the actions of Maui, the demigod of land and sea. See, Maui stole the heart of Tafiti, and Tafiti's kind of a creation goddess. And when he did this, creation started becoming corrupt and started decaying. And it's in evidence on Moana's island. The coconut trees are starting to shrivel up and not produce. The fish that her people depend on are no longer there in the sea, and they're either leaving or they're dying. The island itself is starting to show scars of corruption, all because of one person's actions, one person's sin. And so creation is groaning under the weight of Maui's actions. And so Moana is then sent on a quest to restore the heart of Tafiti. Paul, in this passage from Romans 8, talks quite a bit about creation. And here he also talks about how creation is groaning. Creation is suffering. He speaks as though creation isn't able to do what God designed it to do. It's not living fully as creation is supposed to be, and it all comes down to one person's sin, the sin of Adam, and, well, then the sin of Eve, and all of our sin as members in humanity. Creation, in other words, is showing the corruption and the decay that we as humans introduced into this world by our own sinfulness. Paul talks about creation as it's groaning, it's suffering, like a woman who is groaning and suffering through the pains of childbirth. Paul uses this word groaning three times here. The first time he's talking about creation groaning and suffering. The second time he talks about us, that we as human beings are also groaning and we're suffering. And in our case, we groan as children of God. As children of God, as people who have been saved by faith through grace, through the blood of Christ, we see things in this world differently. And how we see things is that we can look and know that sometime in the future, God is going to restore everything. Scripture teaches us this, that Jesus someday is going to return and that all of creation, all of humanity, it's going to be affected. And finally, things will be as God intended them to be. But until that time, we, as children of God, groan and we suffer as we long for that day to come. We suffer because we not only know the future, but we know that it's not here yet, and we know that the suffering we endure, this corruption, it's our own fault. It's our own fault. We suffer this corruption, we suffer the decay due sometimes to our own personal sins, our own faults. Think of a person who has committed a crime, right? They committed a crime. They're clearly guilty. They're going to have to suffer because of that crime. They might suffer in the penal system. They might suffer probation, or they might suffer a fine. We suffer sometimes because of our own sins. Sometimes we suffer because of the evil or the sin of others. Think of the fire in Mandan at the apartment building. It was the evil and the sin of one person starting that fire, and everybody else in that apartment complex suffers because of that one person's sin. Sometimes we suffer because of the evil of others. In this creation that is corrupt and decay and suffering itself, we sometimes suffer because creation is just out of whack and not how God desires it to be. Imagine you live by a river that is flooding and or some kind of disaster happens because of creation itself. We suffer incidentally because we are part of this world, this earthly existence. And so as we suffer, we groan because we know that this is not how God desires things to be, and there's a future in store, but we have to go through this time. As Paul talks about suffering here and groaning, he talks about it, he mentions it as a woman going through the pains of childbirth. But the beautiful thing about that is that there's an eventual end to those pains. And the end is a joyous and happy occasion when you get to hold that baby and there's new life and new creation there. We groan, creation groans, but we groan with an eager anticipation that God is going to bring things to a beautiful and delightful and wonderful conclusion, one that He intends, and it comes when Jesus returns. And when Jesus returns, then there will be no more suffering. There will be no more tears, no more pain, no more hunger. There will be no more sin. Now, the reason that this passage would come up on Pentecost Sunday is because as we groan and as we suffer in anticipation of what God wants to do, we become weak. We realize how powerless we are. And as we wait on God's final act, that waiting is not easy. And the longer we wait, the more we suffer and the more we become weak and can't endure it any longer. We become weak in our patience. We become weak in prayer. We become weak in endurance. Think of a runner at the end of a race. You just get tired. You get weak and you think, I can't go any further. We grow weak in our hope. And it's for this weakness and for all of this that Jesus the Son and God the Father send us the Holy Spirit. Now, on Pentecost Sunday, there's a lot of things you can say about what the Spirit does for us, but today we see in this book, in this passage, that the Spirit is there to help us in our weakness as we suffer and groan and wait for the day of the Lord's return. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. The Spirit confirms in us that we are children of God, that God has given us faith. The Spirit confirms that, assures us of that. That's why we sing Blessed Assurance. That's why we can sing Blessed Assurance, because the Spirit assures us of what God has done for us. It confirms that we are, in fact, by faith, children of God. The Spirit also, as one who resides in us, knows our heart. And elsewhere, Paul will also say the Spirit knows the Father's heart. And here, speaking almost circularly, Paul says that God the Father also knows our heart, and God the Father and God the Spirit are working together as the Spirit intercedes and prays for us. What a comforting thing. At those times when we feel most weak and we don't even know how to pray, we can be assured that the Spirit prays for us. And here's Paul's third use of the word groaning. The Spirit prays for us in groans too deep for words to even understand, too deep for us to even comprehend. The Spirit and the Father know your heart so well that the Spirit can pray and intercede on behalf of you to the Father in a way that you can't possibly even comprehend. What a comfort to know in our weaknesses that the Spirit is doing that for us. The Spirit also comforts us with this word, with this promise that no matter what sufferings we go through, God the Father is in control. That God the Father can take even that which is evil, even that which causes our suffering, and lay claim to it and use it for His good purposes, for those who are called according to His purpose, which is you and I. The Spirit comforts us that God does that for us. The Spirit is God's gift, a gift that sustains us as we wait in eager anticipation for the glory of God, so that we can say and lay claim to these words that Paul gives us. I am sure that what we are suffering now cannot compare with the glory that will be shown to us. Let's pray. Gracious, almighty, and sovereign God, we thank you for the gift of your Spirit that comforts us, that convicts us, that teaches us, that shows us, that helps us in our weakness, and speaks to you on our behalf. We pray, O Lord, that you would grant us your Spirit each and every day. Renew it in us, that we might be reminded that we are children of the Heavenly Father, that we are under your watchful care. Sustain us in our weaknesses, and help us, O Lord. We pray this in your name. Amen.